Hey guys, Liam Duggan here, captain of the 4WD podcast. We're driven by the Shelter Brewing Co. and are a part of Backchat Studios. You can support us on Patreon, where you can get bonus content and episodes before everybody else. Head to patreon.com/the4WD podcast.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The 4WD podcast, driven by Shelter. Welcome back as Ronnie takes a sip from his 0.5%, which is a non-alc, but needs to disclaimer. You need to have that on there, we've heard.
That's it. You know, sometimes it's good just to taste the beer because you like the taste of the beer.
Yeah, currently off the beers, Ronnie, and sticking to it, which is great. That was a New Year's resolution for you, wasn't it?
No, that was a 4WD show resolution.
It was too.
So, yeah. So
that's right.
No alc until next year.
You had like 7 espresso martinis on the Saturday night.
I did.
Away from alcohol for good. Hey, that was the Southern River Band, Let It Ride, bringing us in. The 4WD podcast on Instagram and all of our episodes on Backchat's YouTube. Mate, you've got the troopy out the front. Haven't seen it in a while.
I do.
It's nice to see the big deal.
Well, it's nice to drive it again. It's you can really tell that engine's only done 100,000.
Yeah, okay.
That thing's got 900,000 left in it.
What year is it?
2015.
Yeah, righto.
Workmate.
Who'd you buy it off?
I traded the Hilux in and I bought it someplace in Welshpool.
Right.
I can't remember where.
And you don't know the story behind it before you got it?
For
it to only do that many Ks in a troopy, yeah, it's unreal.
I looked at the book and stuff, as I do when I buy a car.
Yep.
And it had been in Bathurst and somewhere else in New South Wales. And when I lifted up the the vinyl floor, because it's got vinyl floors,
yep,
it did have a lot of like sort of brownish dirt. So it hadn't really been out back, but right, I suspect that it might have been perhaps in a flood at some stage.
But okay.
I checked the vehicle over. It's all good. Yep. It's like fresh water at least.
Yeah.
It's definitely a salt water because it's still got a chassis.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, it's just surprising to see a 2015 Troopy with only such low Ks on it.
I know.
You've got a fair bit to add to them, I think, mate. You're already trying.
Mate. So, you know, the 76 without the high roof, you know, that's going to be high soon.
Oh.
Yeah. That's why it's not here.
Oh, really?
Well, not because of that, actually. It is high already because I put 33s on it. But right now we're getting rock sliders made for it, like proper rock sliders. Yeah. My mate Luke at OTF is doing them.
Oh, yeah. Luke, from a friend of the show.
Yeah.
So, did you say it's getting higher? You're not, are you?
Going to lift it.
Yeah. Are you alluding to you chopping the roof of the 76?
No. As in like...
Yeah, I thought he was going there. I was like...
You can though.
I remember you talking to us about that. And I was like, surely not.
No, sorry. No, I'm not going to cut that tin can open. I'm going to raise it just so we can test the 35s because there's a few salty people, a lot of happy people, a lot of people, you know, mentioning, hey, the towing test I'm talking about now.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, I put my V8 on the 35s up against the 76 and, you know, yes, it's got bigger tyres and all that stuff, but for me, it was this, my new car versus my first 70 series, my pride and joy, and it completely pantsed it, you know?
Yeah, so that, I suppose that's what we were alluding to last week in your video recently. It did all right for us. The people wanted to hear about it and then they got to see how that behaved. So it went well.
It went well. Yeah. It went extremely well. And I just put 33s on it. I just came back from Busselton.
Yep.
And I'd done 555 Ks. That's adding the 3% because the tyres are bigger. So the speedo's out by... So at 100 Ks per hour, it's out by 3 Ks.
Yep.
It's about the same as
mine, yeah.
Yeah. So cruise control was set to 99. 100, yeah. I did 110 zone as well for most of the way. And it did incredibly well in fuel, 11.7 with a headwind, And on the way back, I had a crosswind.
Yeah, right. Like,
pretty nasty crosswind. Actually, I was, you know,
yeah.
it moved a lot because it's still pretty light. So lift soon, and then we're going to test with 35s. And I'm going to put that caravan on, and I'm going to see if it can actually handle 100 k's per hour up that same hill.
Same thing, yeah. Yeah,
just to see if it can do it.
Yep. No, it was interesting. I obviously, the 76 was at work, so that's your runaround at the moment, but I knew it would be in the shop when I didn't see it here, and it's exciting because, like we say, we've been following the journey a little bit on here and growing with the car and yourself and your relationship with it, which is going swimmingly.
I know. We've gone off to a good start. It's exciting. I didn't think it was going to be that long a relationship.
It wasn't love at first sight, but it's growing. We're going to the new cars of 2024. Now, it's been probably done to death. We've spoken about a couple of these vehicles on here before as well.
Oh, there's some new ones though.
There is some new ones.
There's some fresh ones, yeah.
So the way we're going today is it's a little bit more of your stock standard, your popular brands, the cars that have done well for a long time and they will continue to do well. So when we're talking about today's program, we're talking about the Prado, the Ranger, the Hilux, the Triton, which because of our big Triton following, we're going to cover that, and the D-Max, plus a little bit on the 70 series, which we've had to go at.
Yeah, but and there's some there's a particular one that has not been in Australia for a while, in the form of a four wheel drive, which is quite cool.
Yes,
and then there's one that's got a few extra doors.
Yes, yeah. So I'm calling them the exotics. So these are your exotics.
Twice,
I whistled at you. Sorry.
The exotics, the people, you know, it's a bit like exotics. You mean like a Land Rover, like
you buy
a Land Rover if you're like, you only buy one if you're.
Yeah, I'm talking like your Grenadier, your different ones out there, the Jimny, the Tank, which is not, we don't know a whole lot about, Tank 500.
Yeah.
Which I thought there's a Tank 300. Didn't know there's a Tank 500.
Yeah, so the 300 looks like the Jeep Wrangler. It's like a rip-off of the Jeep Wrangler. That's what I call it. And then the 500 is supposed to rival the Prado.
Yep.
So it's like the affordable Prado, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Without the Toyota tax.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know enough about that one, but I reckon that will be one to talk about a bit later because it actually looks like that particular car is going to make a bit of a movement in Australia.
All right. Well, off the top of your head, actually, let's go back and forth and have a game.
Okay.
So none of the ones that we've got today coming up. You have to say like a car, a four-wheel drive.
Okay.
That we may cover in a future episode. So none of the ones that we're covering today. So no Prado, Ranger, Hilux, Triton, D-Max or 70 series.
Oh.
So anything that I haven't mentioned, need to mention, and I'll go one for one and see who loses.
Oh, right. Yep. Okay.
So whoever runs out first.
Okay. Tundra, Toyota Tundra.
I'll go the Tank.
What, the 500 or the 300?
Both. Be here all day.
You got two now. Five-door Jimny.
The new Volkswagen we're not covering today, so that's going to go in.
Oh, actually, I do want to talk about the five-door Jimny, so I can't have that one.
What, today? No, you can have that because that's not part of my run sheet.
Oh, part of your run sheet?
Yeah, part of my run sheet.
The new Jeep Wrangler.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's still a JL though, but it's got a facelift.
Yep.
We'll talk about that.
That counts. What was I thinking of before? Oh, no. Losing my own game. There's heaps out there. Navara?
Oh, Navara. What about the Pajero?
Yep.
Is there anyone coming out? I don't know.
Grenadier?
I just threw that one at you.
They're making new ones. Oh,
yeah. So Grenadier, I think we need to test drive that one.
Yeah.
I think you need to test drive it.
Yeah,
100%. I've driven one, but yeah, I'd really like your opinion on it.
Yeah.
Because it's just such a different car. It's such a different concept. And I think I can get my hands on one. So for that, I think it needs like an in-depth sort of talk about it. Like a bit like we do with a 70 series.
Yeah.
There's enough to cover multiple episodes on that car, but we'll try and get it in one.
Yep.
Yeah. With a test drive.
It's your go still.
Yeah, I was buying time there. I've got no others.
There's probably so many. Play along with us. Tell us what you're into, what you're looking forward to coming out. But for now, we're going to cover a couple of those mainstream sort of brands, if you want to call it that. And, mate, just give us a bit of info. That whatever you've got on them, you mightn't have a lot. I might give you a bit of a feel on how they look, and Jaden can chime in too, because he's actually done quite a bit of research on these cars. So we'll start off, the new Prado 250.
Yes, the new Prado 250. I'm very excited about that one.
Yep, and it's always going to be compared to the 150 model. Yep. So we can do that, but I'd like to get your thoughts on how you think the 250 will go as on its own in the market.
Not knowing the exact price on what it's going to be, I think it is listed, but I don't know if we could find the price, that's going to factor in here. But I reckon it's going to be a very, very popular car.
Yeah, expecting between 70 and 85K. And I'm not sure if that's sort of excluding the government charges and all that. That might be drive away, but Jaden might have something to add there.
But there's a couple of different variants.
You're quite expensive.
So you have your base model, you have like your GXL, you have probably your VX and all that as well. Yep. And at some stage, the headlights and the whole front end changes the look of it. So it's the same shape, but it changes the look of the car,
yep.
which is quite bizarre, I think, to do that, which is pretty cool though.
Yeah, they look awesome.
And I think that's going to cause people, because people buy cars because of colours, people buy cars because of looks.
Yep.
So I reckon some people might spend less to get that look and others will spend more than they want to get the other look. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they look so different.
Between the models, you're saying?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's still this 250. One's a GXL, one's something else.
Okay, and there's quite a difference between the...
The front end, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And there will be a tech difference in them as well.
Oh, yeah, so I'm looking at a couple of different ones here. I didn't even notice until you said that. But
yeah.
Some of them actually look quite like a 70 series front end on the new ones a little bit.
Yeah, you reckon?
Well, that...
I reckon they're Americanized.
Very Americanized, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I get a little bit from the front of a 70, new 70 series at the moment. A little bit boxy, like that. That
I think it top, brings that, about, yeah. I think
that
the
one there.
New 70 brings us kind of, yeah, that's it. I think the new 70 kind of brings it back to the one before the VDJ, you know.
Oh, righto.
Just that shape on the front with the big, you know, that massive indicator light, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
They're a nice looking vehicle. Like I don't know what their off-road capability is going to be like though. Are they going to be...
I think it should be like a Prado.
Okay.
Really. I mean, there'll be more tech in it. It's got a 48-volt battery, which is very exciting. Now, it's not going to... All that battery does, it doesn't give you more power or anything. All it does, it runs the vehicle when the engine's turned off, something like that. So it's probably got one of these things where it turns the engine on and off. So it's not going to be idling down a hill. The battery's going to take over. So it's going to cut in and out, which is a bit weird.
Right.
But obviously, they wouldn't bring out something that's not going to work, you'd think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of research would have been done in this. But what I'm excited about, I don't care about that at all. What I'm more excited about is the 48 volts. And I think we spoke about this before, you know, because your roof solar panel runs on 48 volt. And when it comes to wiring your vehicle, when you're using 12 volt, your wires, your gauge of your wires is going to be so freaking big, the more amps you want to push through it. And when it comes to 48 volts, well, the wires are going to be considerably thinner compared to the 12 volt.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Yeah, it's interesting that part. I don't understand a lot about that, but I'm sure there's people out there that do, and then there hopefully will be some people that learn from something like that and can look a little bit further into it.
Yeah.
Because it's a really nice looking vehicle. It's got the same power and torque as the 150, so there hasn't been a lot of change there.
So that battery's not going to do anything in torque or anything, which is a bit weird, I've got to say. Like you think that would do something there, but...
It'd help, like, you're saying you think it would help the engine sort of...
Yeah. Well, it helps the fuel economy, but I kind of suspect that they've done this... Now, I'm just spitballing here. I reckon they've done this because of emissions.
Right.
So that way that can prolong the life of the 2.8 litre diesel to stay within emission standards. Because imagine if you are so close to being at a point where, oh crap, we can't make this engine anymore.
Yep.
We have to do something. So if you add a 48 volt that can just do that and you can prove it.
Yeah, okay.
If it does it, then you get it over the line. It's a bit like the safety stuff. You
know, yeah,
people
right.
People put a seatbelt beeper in and get an extra point or something.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I probably should touch on the... the specs a little bit. So it is the 2.8 litre turbo diesel.
Yes.
Which is what the current Prado is, with the current 70 series also taking, or the new 70 series 2.8 litre. Eight-speed auto.
That is the change, though.
That's the change from the 150.
That's the change.
Yeah.
The gearbox. So that'll be really interesting. Eight gears. That's a lot of gears. So
3,500 towing capacity, kilo towing capacity.
So that's the same as the new 70.
Yep.
The V8 or the 2.8. It's the same.
Yep.
3.5 ton. I don't think you can actually exceed that towing capacity on a car. I think that's the actual ceiling for a car categorized as in that field. Like a, what do you call them? Like a small car,
yeah,
I guess you call it.
Yeah. That's a small car.
Well,
or like a, you know, without being a,
it's not an American truck.
Light heavy or something. Yeah. The interesting part though is it's the same, producing the same power and torque, but it is slightly bigger length, width and height than the old 150. So it's moving a bigger car with the same amount of power, I suppose.
Yeah. I wonder what it's going to do to the sales of the 300. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's actually, didn't really touch on the 300s a lot at all. Like they're just beautiful looking car and.
They are, but they're very expensive as well.
Very expensive.
So if you put that in, you know, I don't think many people are going to go from a 150 Prado and then go up to a 300. They're going to go for the new Prado.
Yeah.
That's what I reckon.
Yeah. I would probably think that way too. You're not going to believe this. It's got a 1 mil high ground clearance. That's how deep Jaden's gone into having a look at these. 1 mil. So she's riding higher.
How good is that though?
I can't believe they've actually put that in there.
It's a full mil.
In their specs, a full mil.
One spin of the tyres, you'll be down to the same.
The updated interior? Two 12.3-inch screens instead of the 9-inch screen in the 150.
Two.
I don't know where they're putting the second one.
Maybe like a flip-down one. But is that in a certain model?
Probably in it. Maybe, yeah.
But speaking of the whole 40-volt and the 2.8, I mean, the Hilux is coming up the same setup.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so let's maybe jump to the Hilux then.
And the Hilux has been made wider as well.
While we're on Toyota, So that's the new Toyota Hilux, the 48-volt hybrid, which we have touched on.
Yeah.
So it's the same. Is it going to be the same as the Prado 250?
It's going to have the same engine specs and everything.
Same engine specs as...
I believe the gearbox is also going to be an 8-speed.
Yep, okay.
It'll have to be.
And so, it's only in the SR5 and the Rogue.
Oh, is it? Okay, so the other ones, the SR then, will have to
it's an option for the SR. Sorry. Right. So it must come standard in the SR5 and Rogue.
Is that just the gearbox or the battery as well?
Sorry, they're adding an electrified powertrain.
Okay.
That's what's being added. I probably should have disclaimed that.
and they don't want to call it. They don't want to call it hybrid.
They don't.
No.
Well, they're just going to call it Hilux.
No, they're calling it. They're calling it a 2.8 liter turbo diesel with a generator that runs a battery.
It's getting a bit technical for me.
It's technically not a hybrid. I don't. Apparently, it's not like a Prius or anything.
Sounds like one. Sounds exactly like one.
Well, yeah, but the battery doesn't really run the car. That's the thing.
Yeah, okay.
It's only going to like save the fuel a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't really get it. But the thing that I'm excited about is the 48 volt power. You know,
you're quite optimistic about this setup, aren't you?
Well, for people who want to travel, four wheel drive, camping, overlanding, touring.
Yep,
touring's probably the correct term in Australia. It's going to make it so much easier.
Yeah, okay.
Like you'd be able to run inverters off that kind of power easier than setting up for a 12-volt power system.
Yep.
I think it's going to be really cool. And like we mentioned before, it'd be good to get someone electric, like Jamie.
Yep.
Be good to get him on to – I've still got to pick his brain. I want to ask him about this.
Yeah, okay.
But I reckon we're going to see a big shift in if these cars – stay popular and keep going as they are, 48 volt, I reckon you just watch the accessory world, it's going to explode with different options.
Yeah, okay. Righto.
There will be people that'll have a converter to bring it from 48 down to 12, I bet you. But I wouldn't do that. I would go 48 volt.
Yeah. So I'm going to dumb it down a bit here, and this is to help me understand it. So a 48 volt battery system in the new Hilux standard, if I'm plugging my fridge in, like is it that sort of style? Like, is it the outlets that the car is for the accessories, or is it actually This is because it says here it's supposed to improve fuel efficiency by 5%, but I just don't. If it's not a Prius and it's not a hybrid car, then I don't understand how it's doing that.
Yeah, but it's just improving by 5%, and that's why I think it's just a number to try to get across the board. But I also think they're kind of like maybe like just seeing where this tech goes, or maybe they're not telling us about what else is coming later. So maybe that's what they're working on. And maybe later models might have something better, because it does seem a bit strange to bring out 48 volts if all it's going to do is save fuel 5%.
Yep.
You know, it kind of sounds a bit ridiculous, but maybe they're sort of just this must be the start of something, right?
Yeah, okay.
And I'm not just saying as in like it's going to progress to something because it's coming out. It's more like I think they have a plan to bring something else out.
Right. Yeah, okay.
But to plug your
understanding, really, but
yeah. But to answer the question, to plug your fridge in, it's probably not going to work unless they have something that converts it down to 24 or 12.
That's what I don't understand. I'm like,
if they're running off that battery though, I don't know how that system works. But if that's the case, they would have to do something because they're going to have USB chargers, right?
Yeah.
So they would have some kind of conversion, so it does come down to 12 volt. And most fridges, they can run off 24 and 12 volt. I'm not sure about 48. There's probably something that can run off 48.
Well, this is where we get back to the rookie and the expert, because like I'm way out of my league even asking questions about this because I don't understand any of that electric stuff at all.
Yeah, it's speculating about this until I need to see the car.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. When I get my hands on one of those Prados, I'm not just looking for a test drive.
Yeah.
I want to start opening panels and having a look.
See what's in there.
I want to see how it's set up.
Yep. It's interesting because Toyota have released that, or they're releasing a fully electric car, the BZ4X, and that's soon. It's got two models, a single motor and a dual motor all-wheel drive with an off-road mode, fully electric.
Yeah.
So that might be like what you're saying, a little bit of the what's to come sort of style that Toyota are starting to enter into.
Yeah, I think that's the full electric's going to be your city car. It's not going to be an off-road car.
No, it won't be. But maybe it's a bit of a...
Yeah, like maybe like a stepping stone, right?
Yeah, to see if there is that. Like it sounds like it's going that way. We don't think there's much of a space for it, do we?
Not in Australia. No, Australia is not a place where you can run electric cars, I don't think. Like not yet. Around a city, You know, it's just, I just don't see, like, imagine being out in a bush and your battery's running flat, you know. So my sister lives out in the country, out near Wongan Hills, and that's like 250 km from Perth.
Yeah.
Now, one of their neighbouring farmers has an electric car. And the idea was the range is good, you can get to Perth, but then you got to charge the car. Didn't realise how long it took to charge the car.
Yep.
And then if you forget to charge the car, you've got a power outage, now you got to hang around.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to run a Jenny.
Yeah.
So now apparently there's a generator in the boot or something like that.
Yeah, right. I opened up the hood of a Tesla actually the other day. It's just so bizarre to see nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit like a Porsche.
There's like a cavity. It's just like, where is everything?
Enough room for one suitcase.
I could have jumped in there. All right, I'm out of my depth there, so I don't want to harp on that too long, Jaden. Unless there's anything else you want to add on that 48 volt hybrid, the Toyota Hilux, but
we need to get the hybrid.
Yeah, I think we need to get the hybrid, and we're working on getting cars to test drive
hybrid,
as well.
But it's a hybrid.
Well, actually, I just found some information on that. So the reason Toyota isn't calling it a hybrid.
Mm.
So apparently a lot of people have been calling it a mild hybrid, and Toyota does not want to call it a mild hybrid because in the Toyota world, hybrid refers to a system where the engine and the electric motor can both propel the vehicle either together or independently, which is not the case for the electric motor for the 48 volt system.
Okay. So they're saying that the 48 volt system is not linked up to the driveline. Which means, so now I understand what the battery's for. So you know how you have the automatic on-off of your car when you pull up to a traffic light and the car just turns off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I can't stand that system.
Yeah, I turn that off all the time in my partner's car.
But I think Toyota are taking this to the next level. So as your car's coasting, the car switches off and it's going to run on the battery.
Right.
So the battery's going to keep the car alive. That's what I'm...
Yeah, so...
That's just... I'm speculating, I'm guessing. Yeah. But I don't see it doing anything else.
Yeah, so it assists the diesel engine, like, of the Hilux. It'll power the car's steering, pumps and fans, supports the fuel-saving stop-start operation, which I think is what you were just talking about.
Right.
Oh, okay. No, the stop-start. So, you know how you stopped at the traffic lights and then the cars around you are just turning off?
Yeah.
That's the kind of function that I think it's supporting. Keeps the electrics going and handles climate control. So it'll just handle all the electrical stuff that are in your car. It's just going to be handling that. It won't be powering the actual drivetrain of the car or anything.
To do with the...
Okay. It won't have anything to do with the powertrain or anything like
that. Okay, that makes it a bit clearer.
Does that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so it'll just help with all the electrics and stuff, recharging it, storing the kinetic energy, recovering, like from braking.
Good
boy. All that kind of stuff. You know that F1 style
good
kinetic energy? Yeah. You like that, Ronnie.
Good boy.
You like that. Look at that. Good. He likes it.
That's a great little
I'll give it F1.
We're on, boys.
Thanks,
it's a good
Jade.
Day.
So, in other words, when you run your aircon in your car, it's using more fuel.
Yes.
Because it's got to drive the belt more.
Yep.
So, this is going to assist in that.
There's your 5%.
So, it must be on a separate run thing.
Great. That's good.
There
Thank
you,
you Jaden.
Let's see how that goes. From Toyota, just one more thing.
Oh, please.
Sorry. They've confirmed it's 100%, not 99.8, 99.9, 100% suited to Australia's harsh conditions and customer demands. So they're basically putting out like 100% satisfaction rate for rough terrain, Australian conditions, that kind of thing. That's big.
Ballsy.
Is that big?
Yeah, it's pretty big, but it's pretty ballsy backing. But there are other companies out there that back a 10-year warranty, which I think is even more ballsy.
That is quite ballsy.
You know? Imagine buying a car that hasn't really been proven, and then imagine all these cars, they fail after 5 years, and everyone's got a 10-year warranty.
Who does have the 10-year warranty? Is it
Mitsubishi?
Yeah, I reckon Triton.
I think it's Mitsubishi as well.
Yeah.
It's a Triton or not.
Yeah, yeah, 10-year. But it's someone else. Car. I think someone else does it too.
It's interesting. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
The Triton. All right, let's go to the Ranger, my neck of the woods. The new Ranger, which is, as I was saying before we started, has grown on me immensely. I love the look of it now.
Yeah.
I think...
Very American.
Very American, the new ones. And I think it's taken out Australia's top-selling vehicle last year, 2023, narrowly beating the Hilux, which has been on top for the past 7 years.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, like we spoke about before, would be buying the Ranger because it looks really good.
Yeah, and they've gone like a bigger engine.
There is. You've got the V6 option now, which is huge. So 184 kilowatts of power, 600 newton meters of torque.
And they've got the V6 Raptor version as well, which...
they've got the V6 petrol Raptor, the EcoBoost twin turbo. So that's 292 kilowatts and 583 newton meters of torque.
Yeah, so it's finally a car manufacturer's brought out a four-wheel drive with a V6 twin system. And no one else has done that. So they've kind of got that themselves. I mean, Toyota responded with the Rogue.
Yeah.
But it's just a Hilux with more Tupperware on it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yep. Yeah. And then you've obviously got the bi-turbo, two-litre four-cylinder.
Yeah.
That was also carried over from the
With the 8-speed now.
I believe that is an 8-speed. Gearbox, yeah.
When I test drove that one, the gearbox was kind of overheating in low range, which got me a little bit sort of... Yeah. Mm.
Don't think they've been overly popular, but obviously the V6 coming out and they look mint. They just... Like, that is a nice looking vehicle, a vehicle.
You could see yourself in that.
I can see myself
in that.
I can tell. I could see myself in that.
So what about your V8?
I still can see myself in the 70 Series 2, the V8 style, but... That is, for me at the moment, it's a pick of the bunch. I haven't driven one of these yet, so it's purely on the look of it, which I wasn't sure about at the start.
So what stage this year are we going to see a VO Troopy and a Ranger, a new Ranger in your driveway?
well, that depends on what Lauren wants to drive. If she has to get rid of the Tiguan, she can drive the Ranger, and I'll take the Troopy.
Just switch day to day.
Yeah, I have to teach Lauren the manual, and I'll probably have to go and get my license.
You're going to have to learn the manual as well, mate.
I need to just get my license, mate. Back off.
Just tell it. Just tell it. He's kind of saved himself, hasn't he?
Yeah. So I don't have much information on these. Like I said, I haven't driven one. You have.
Yeah.
And we've touched on your thoughts
on
these.
It was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
It was just that one thing.
Yeah.
It was just that one thing.
Was it too much? Because Ford are known as a little bit of a leader in the tech side.
Yeah.
And I look into the interior of the new Ranger and it is...
Oh, the interior is bloody It's nice. It is really nice. It was just... My main concern was that automatic gearbox was overheating. Like it got like one bar from the red. So right. It was in the warning zone. I was like, all right, well, that's my low range beach run done. I only went up a couple of times and I had to go to low range because it kept getting bogged in high range. It was in one of those situations, despite what people say in the comments, but they're always going to say that unless you give them all the information, you know?
Yep.
But I had it in high range. And high range would actually be worse because it's working harder. It's going to heat it even more, right? Yep. But my concern was, imagine if you were towing a camper trailer on a beach, which I've done many, many times in low range, and this gearbox is already overheating, that gearbox is definitely going to need an aftermarket cooler.
Right.
No.
Is this on the...
There's no way it's going to be able to do
the
it.
The four-cylinder, the five-turbo one.
Yeah, the diesel. Yeah.
Righto.
Yeah. But don't they both have the same gearbox?
I don't know. Like I said, I haven't dived real deep into them, but
I mean, apart from that, that was the only thing. And I even think in the review video that I did, I think I said that this will outsell the Hilux.
Yeah,
at some stage, and sure enough, it did.
Yeah, I'd love to. We don't have to touch much more on that. I think it's probably sort of making its own name and. It's way like it started to take off, and I'd love to see if you could please for my own benefit send some done up new Rangers because they look wicked stock. So Jaden, if you get those photos, please flick them through to me.
I will actually be taking that same Ranger out again soon, just for a quick little squeeze.
Yep.
If we're in the area, I'll have to swing past. Mate.
Please do.
Yeah.
I'd love to have it. I'd love to just.
Yeah. But it's all done
on
now.
The iPad too. Oh, is it?
It's got all the one I test drove had the Rhino panels on it because my mate from Rhino Hide.
Yep.
It's Mark's car. So now he's got the bigger tires. He's got the roof rack on. Oh, yeah. It's mint. It's mint looking and.
Yeah. Jaden just threw a tough one on here. This kind of looks like the one that would want to cruise up and down like the beach, like, not on the sand, like on. But Trigg to Hillary's, so for our Victorian viewers, maybe down the St Kilda Esplanade sort of style,
yeah,
big like, rims and
it's pretty shiny,
fancy lights, yeah, it's shiny stuff.
No bull bar.
Why have you put this in here?
This is I googled it, and this is what came up.
Fair enough. I like it. It looks good.
There's no pleasing you.
There's 20 inch rims on it, though. I'm not even going to show Ronnie.
Actually,
have you?
That's the thing, right?
Apparently, that's a thing now, is people are putting bigger rims on their four-wheel drives.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't take them off-road.
No, exactly. But, like, what's the point?
Because they want them to look cool. It's like dressing up a sedan, I guess.
Well, I thought you were going to say
that. I don't like it. Do you guys remember when there were people driving around in lowered Hiluxes?
Yeah.
I passed one on the freeway a few years ago and I bolted out the window on it. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I saw one of those Rangers in Busselton.
We're pretty welcoming here.
Yeah. We still love you.
Yes.
So one of those Rangers, I saw one in Busselton just the other day. He had either lined the whole thing with like Linex or Raptor liner or something, or he had put a wrap on it that was textured. Yeah.
Like what car, what sort of?
The whole car was textured, the whole thing. Everything
when
on
you
the
say
car
textured, like...
Like the paintwork.
Oh.
Like there was no paintwork.
Right.
It was textured. And I don't think it was wrap. You can get wrap that's textured, but I reckon he'd gone to town and covered the whole car.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, it wasn't a business car either. It's not just...
Yeah.
You took like a Raptor coating on your car kind of thing, like that with the bumps and stuff?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
Like the tub on it. Yeah, but it never comes off.
No, but you'll never scratch your car.
That's true. That's
like
true.
You'd never worry about a stick.
It's a big commitment, though.
It's a huge... Yeah, but like if you've got like a 50-year-old car...
Oh, yeah. A 50-year-old car. Why not? This is a brand new Ranger.
Why not?
Why not?
You just got to ask yourself. Why not?
Better than 20-inch wheels.
Jeez.
I'm coming undone here.
I like the idea of having like a little... If people want to send in their worst like four-wheel drive photos or their worst-looking cars, the worst mods.
The worst mods.
I would love to go through the messages on Instagram or emails or whatever and just look at some horrible modded four-wheel drives. You did a video, Ronnie, didn't you? Sorry.
I did a couple, yeah. Worst mods, yeah.
There's things you should never do to your four-wheel drive.
There's some bad ones out there.
We're just asking for like funny-looking cars, though, aren't we?
Yeah.
Have you had a bit of fun with designing your car?
You know what I like to see? You know Mr. Bean's car? You know that,
yeah.
That little... It's blue, isn't it? Is it blue? Or is it red?
It's green.
Green. I thought, yeah. The little three-wheeler thing.
Yeah.
So I thought it was blue. Anyway.
Could be.
That car, can you imagine that on like big off-road tyres?
No.
Yes, I can.
I can't.
I showed you guys that Toyota Corolla that was lifted.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was pretty cool. I'd love to see the Mr. Bean one.
Yeah, Mr. Bean one would be cool.
Send in your photos.
Bean.
Can you find me one on car sales?
I bet you I can't. I'm good, but I'm not that good.
All right, back on track, boys. Right, come on.
Let's go to the Triton because we've got a big Triton following.
Okay.
And we've been asked to report more on the Triton, and we've probably spoken down to the Triton a little bit.
Have we?
Yeah, we have. I'm going to say that we have. I feel like we've sort of laughed it off, but I feel like neither of us, in fairness, don't know a lot about them. Never owned one or... I haven't really sort of...
10-year warranty and you can't frighten a Triton.
There's a great marketing strategy behind the Triton, which we must...
I actually found some stuff on the warranties.
Yep.
Mitsubishi is the only one that offers 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's huge. It's not 10 years unlimited kilometres. It's 10 years or 200,000 kilometres.
200,000 is still decent.
But you're getting more than... You would get more than 200,000 kilometres
well,
in
I've
10
done
years.
170... In mine, I've bought it in 2017, and I've been over east twice, Broome 3-4 times in it, and I love driving. I just get in the car and drive. Like I've.
But as a daily, do you drive? Like how many k's would you do on a daily basis?
Like to work and back, it'd be 30 k's, so not far round trip.
Yeah, so 200,000 k's not going to take. I think most people would have that done in 6 years.
You reckon?
I reckon, yeah. A lot of people commute pretty far to work.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially,
I'm pretty lucky. I'm
especially
not
in Australia.
Far. Yeah. I still feel like 200,000 is pretty generous.
Yeah. I guess it's pretty... Yeah.
What is it? It's 20,000 k's a year? Is that...
Yeah.
20,000 k's a year? That's all you have
Something
to do.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think break it down like that.
I think if I said 250,000, it sounds better for the advertising campaign.
Yeah.
Thank you for that one later, Triton.
Yeah. That's backing themselves, though. Like 200,000 in a car is that's quite...
It is,
a lot of people are offloading before they get to 200,000 to...
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure you can actually pay at other dealerships, other brands, you can pay for the extra kilometres, extended warranty.
Yeah.
Depends on where you go there. But then what are you doing with the car? Like for people like us, the warranty goes out the window.
Yeah, as soon as you start... Loading it up.
Unless they're being reasonable, but then you've got to be reasonable as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's a decent...
When you look on car sales... Deal. Sorry, this is the last thing and then I'll shut up. When you look on car sales, what's like... You know you put in the max kilometres that you want to see or like the minimum, whatever. What's your... What do you put in?
Ooh. So, for instance, with a...
The highest Ks you'll buy.
With the Land Cruiser, like a V8 Land Cruiser, or...
I'm about to blow out.
You've just lost.
Four drive podcast, you're in my shelter. he's got another ear. Look at this. Oh, that's funny.
I'm not cutting that out. That can stay.
No, that's good.
My bit familiar is.
Yeah, you can still hear me. So as you're figuring that out.
Yeah, but it's coming from this side.
Yeah. Hello, I'm over here.
Do you want me to get the piece?
Oh, that's all right. That's all right.
Figured it out.
Are
you
I
sure?
I don't know where it went.
I'll keep going on the lefty.
Where did it go? And it doesn't matter.
Roll that way.
What's your max? So obviously a V8 Land Cruiser. Like it doesn't really matter.
200,000 probably on that Land Cruiser because it doesn't worry me where they're at really. Like 200,000 is the max that you can scroll to. You can type in.
Oh, is that the max you can scroll
to? It's the max you can scroll to. You can manually type in if you really wanted to go up further. But
the max,
once you scroll, 200 is the max. So I just put it up to that for that because I backed that car. For something like the modern day ute, I would probably, to be honest, I don't really want to buy one that's over 100,000 k's.
Can I just go back to your 200,000?
Yep.
What? Okay, you're talking about Land Cruiser.
Yep.
So you would go to 200,000. Yep. What if it was a Hilux of a 2.8 litre engine?
Toyota, I will back in a bit more than any other
okay.
brand. All so right. I would happily buy a Hilux, like old LM105 Hilux.
Yeah.
Because I back in, even if it's done, you know, 250, 300, making it like, if it was the right price, like I'm not paying,
yeah,
I'm not
yeah,
paying
yeah.
Not, like a lot for that, but like I'd back Toyota in more
you're
than
paying I would, more
than yeah, you still pay a fair bit, but I'd back Toyota in more than I would back in even probably a Ford.
Okay.
Even though I love my Ford and haven't had big issues with it.
So I'll you say 100,000 is your blanket limit?
For a modern day ute, like I'm talking sort of, you know, when I'm talking modern day, like there's the Rangers, there's the PX Rangers that, you know, 2012 model that are similar to mine.
Hmm.
If I'm buying a new ute, I don't want anything that's done more than what mine has already sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so of course. That's where I sort of draw that line, which is getting a bit weird and people mightn't be following, but I don't want a new ute that's done more than 100,000 really.
Yeah, I'll get that. And I'll be the same.
Hilux would be the exception probably.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. So that, right, that's why I say for a Triton, like I feel like a lot of people would be getting rid of a Triton, not because it was a bad car, because they're updating around that 200,000 mark anyway. So it's like the whole time you've got that potentially, it's, you know, it mightn't be 10 years that you have it. It might be 6 years, but you're just at 178,000 Ks. And if you haven't touched it, you're still under that warranty, and I'd probably be wanting to get rid of it anyway.
I wonder if there's a stat out there. How often do people cycle through a car? Like, I would guess it'll be 5 years.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting one to find out, actually.
I think that's when people trade in.
Yeah.
After 5 years.
It's probably something that think? We should have spoken about at the start of this episode, because why do you need a new car? Like, these are all great examples of modern-day vehicles that are tried and tested through time. But
it's an interesting time we're in at the moment, because if you buy a new car, they're hard to get, right? So, and all the car manufacturers have worked that out. So demand is high, supply is low. They've crept the price up.
Yeah.
I mean, that $10,000 since COVID, everyone's jacked their price up, at least, I reckon. And that's brought the used car market up. So you got this, you kind of got to look at a used car, okay, that costs $50,000. But the car I'm looking at costs $50,000, say $60,000 brand new. But then if you add your stamp duty on top of the $50,000 car, you're almost up to 60,000.
Yeah.
So you might as well buy the new car. But wait, you got to wait a year.
Yeah.
You got like 18 months.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting.
Yeah. It's not just simply, I'm going to buy a used car for around this price.
Yeah.
It's like, hang on a second. Especially when you're talking Toyotas, because you're like,
yeah,
well, I can get a brand new 70 series for this much, but this secondhand one that's got nearly 200,000 Ks on it, it's got all this fruit on it, but what, you know, it's an interesting time.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing that I would have covered at the end, I reckon, is how much does a wait time factor into the vehicle you're buying, which you've touched on there, which is awesome. But there's probably a few big ticket items when you know, if you're in the market for one of these cars, which we'll keep going on the Triton. We got carried away with the warranty and where that took us. But it is interesting when you equate everything and sort of where does it sit for wait times and what you're paying used. It's just a different time in the car market.
And how many people do you reckon will go, I want the Ranger, but I can't get that, but I can get a Triton.
Yeah.
So I'll go to Triton. Yep. I reckon that's happened a lot.
I think the BT50 is one that we haven't spoken about. A lot of people that wanted the Ranger couldn't quite get their hands on one of those, went to the BT50.
Yeah.
They were the same engine basically, and you didn't pay for the price tag of a Ford badge. You see some really nice BT50s floating around the place, done up, because there's a little bit more left over to actually spend on the accessories rather than going all out and buying the Ranger.
And then nowadays it's Isuzu and BT50, right?
Doing like the the crossover.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Isuzu was more the Holden.
They were.
They've changed, have they? Okay. Have they stopped making Colorados?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. But let's go
to the Triton.
Let's go back to the Triton. we're not avoiding.
No. I think that was a good chat though. Like, it's quite interesting.
Just kidding.
I do have more. If we,
on the,
so the average age of a vehicle in Australia is 10 and a half years.
Oh, okay.
Is that the changeover?
What's wow. It? 10 and a half. Well, that's the average age of a vehicle on Australian roads is 10 and a half years. So you can kind of correlate what you need from that.
Yep.
Okay.
But the there's an interesting little stat that more than 50% of drivers killed in WA roads were in vehicles 10 years or older.
Right.
Which,
okay,
it kind of makes sense, right? Mm. Like the safety standards are coming up in the new
year
as the years go on. And
yeah.
But 50% or more, more than 50% of drivers killed in WA were driving older cars. So it almost is worth it to get a newer car.
To update when
the
times are right. Sort of
thing.
Well, it's funny you should bring that up because my mate Harry, you know, Harry Five Fork, he bought his Prado because of the safety of his 80 series, because he had a friend, he had a couple of friends that died in an 80 series.
Right.
And they had the exact same car, right? So, you know, they had a baby on the way. So that's why he bought a Prado. So, yeah, of course, safety matters, but you got to weigh it up. So are you someone who's got a family, or are you just sort of heading out bush in this particular car? So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's up to the individual, really.
Yeah. Well, 10 and a half years surprises me, though.
I feel like a lot of people
that I know would update more regularly than that, but I suppose that's just, you know.
I mean, it's the average, right? So
yeah,
that, some people will update it really regularly and some people won't, and it's like the average of all of that. But yeah, the experts say that the number needs to be halved.
Oh, okay.
If there's going to be less deaths on the road.
Right. Interesting.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry.
The Triton.
It's bigger, it's badder than the older model, and they've collaborated with TJM to release 46 custom-made accessories alongside the car.
I heard about this.
Which, that's unique.
It's taken the same line as Ford. The Ranger, they're working with ARB, and they've accommodated so they can fit all different ARB accessories in there, which I think is cool. And
Does it limit you, though, to...
No.
No, okay.
No, because you put anything else in that you want.
Yep.
But what it does allow you to do is you get the car brand new, and if you can afford to buy these other things, the car gets released with it, and now you got warranty on everything.
Yep.
So I wonder if it's limited warranty for Triton, Voice Beyond, does that extend to the TJM accessories?
Yeah, right. That have been aligned with the car already.
Yeah.
Not extras, yeah.
To say if you buy it with that. But then maybe they're not selling them with it. They've just made it working with TJM.
Yeah.
They'll have to sell it because why would they work with them?
Yeah. Well, it looks like it's a nice looking vehicle. It's got quite a deep front bumper though.
Can you spin that around?
Which is interesting. Yeah. Like, look how deep that front bumper goes.
Oh, wow. So that is very different because I have not... looked at that car at all. It doesn't even look like a Triton that I know as a Triton.
Nah.
Interesting.
It's kind of, again, it's probably squared up a little bit.
Yeah, it's like they've all gone to the same AI program.
Looks a bit like a D-Max, to be honest, for anyone out there wondering. But they're certified a tow
3.5?
3.5 now, which is 400 up from the old one.
Yeah.
So that's come up to match the Ranger and the Hilux and the Amarok. The larger diameter, you'll understand this, I'm just reading off a sheet here. Larger diameter dampers, which have 20mm more front suspension due to a higher upper mount for the double wishbone suspension. Bang. Did you know what that meant?
That was good. That was very good.
That was your stuff. I'm just reading out your messages.
Very off-roady.
470 newton meters of torque, which Jaden tells me is up from the Hilux.
No.
Okay.
Jaden, tell me that.
30.
It's like 30 less.
30 less.
It's 30 less than the new Prado.
The new one. Yeah.
30 less.
Yeah. All right. So it's not far off.
Well, no, it's 30 less than the current Hilux that's being released.
No, sorry. It's 30 less than the new Prado. The 2.8
litres.
I'm lost.
Yeah, it's the same.
It's the same thing, yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Caused a lot of confusion there. Anyway, it looks like a decent buy. I think they've made some nice changes to probably, I don't want to say catch up because I don't know if they were the same motor?
Is it a 2.4?
Yes, twin turbo instead of single turbo. So
that's what
brings the power levels, 150 kilowatts, which is the same as the Hilux. Maybe that's what
you're telling me. Yeah, the power's the same, but the
torque's down a bit.
Yeah, the torque's down.
Okay. That's the ballsiest thing I've ever heard.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, I just read because that as...
it's a single turbo motor, 2.4, that was designed with. They got 10-year warranty, 200,000K warranty.
Oh, as in you're talking the previous model.
Yeah, yeah. And now they've put a second turbo on it. They've obviously done some mods to the motor since the other one. But I think that's pretty ballsy.
Right.
So they're pushing the engine more to get up to close to the Hilux and the Ranger and that.
Right.
But it's a 2.4 and they're putting an extra turbo on it and that's a ballsy move.
In a good way? Or do you think it's risky?
Well, it's good for the customer.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe not if you're in the middle of nowhere and it does go kabang, but I mean, it's a ballsy move. So I think they obviously put trust into what they've done.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean,
I think it looks, as a person who's sort of driving a modern ute, and it would be in the question a lot more now, looking at just how it looks from like, just taking it on face value, and then a couple of the changes that they've made, I think it brings it back up to...
Yeah.
It brings it into the equation, I would have thought.
Yeah, it definitely brings it into the equation.
Especially with price point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Is the price point. And the second thing, the 10-year warranty and the third thing, working with a four wheel drive, you know, accessory branch.
Brand, yeah.
A well known one, yeah. Like that's worldwide known as well. So I think as an off road sort of side of things, they're not shying from off road. And whatever done on the front end, the stuff you're reading out, like, I don't quite comprehend it 100%, but it just sounds to me like they've got some tougher stuff on the front there to handle suspension. But most people who are going to have this car, they're going to modify it and they're probably going to change it out.
Yeah.
But the suspension that could be TGM suspension that they're working with, because what was it, 45 items you were saying?
It was 46, yeah.
46?
Yep. 45, yeah. 46, I think it was.
Interesting.
Yep.
Custom
made. Yep.
But adding the turbo to the car to bring it up, that's a ballsy move.
Yep. I like it. I don't mind that from Mitsubishi.
Yeah, well.
Hopefully this holds up.
They're still offering the 10-year warranty. TGM offers a 3-year or 100,000-kilometre warranty.
On accessories?
Yeah. For whenever you purchase a new product from TGM, it's basically warranty for 3 years or 100,000 Ks, whichever comes first.
Yeah, righto.
So I don't know whether I doubt TGM is going to be like here's a 10-year warranty because Mitsubishi offers it.
That's separate to obviously.
Yeah, that's a separate.
Yeah, that's it's
so
own.
TGM on its own offers a 3-year warranty or 100,000 K warranty.
Oh, so on its own, but not through the dealership.
No, not through the dealership.
So I wonder what it's like for the dealership.
I doubt it's going to be. I don't think they're going to. It'll probably be the same.
It'd have to be connected to the Triton, wouldn't it? It'd have to be Mitsubishi's thing, I would have thought.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Yeah.
The fine print in the bottom will tell you.
Read it.
When it's going to be.
Add the accessories. This is a special accessories one.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
No, but I like it.
If TGM's offering a 10-year warranty on their products, but only through a Mitsubishi dealer and only with the new Triton.
It's probably less risk, right?
It would just be what comes standard on that Triton.
But that'd be more risk for Mitsubishi if they're replacing the parts through TGM. They're going to be spending a lot of money.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
Yeah, you know, interesting thing that most people don't actually know. There's a law. There's a law about if you provide an item, like say if you made like a, let's just say four drive accessory item, and you give it 1 year warranty, well, tough shit because you actually have to offer 3 year warranty.
Oh, it has to be 3 years.
It has to be 3 year warranty. Right. Like you can actually contest it because I only found this out for a camera store because I'm not going to mention names here, but Mr. X bought something and it failed and then he called the camera store. This is like 2 years later. And the guy goes, do you feel that the product failed after a reasonable time? And he said, no, I think it should have lasted longer. This is a Sony product.
Yep.
And then he said, well, okay, well then we will replace it under warranty. And he's like, oh, I thought it was only 1 year. And then he had the law explained to him by the shop itself.
Oh, right.
So credit to the shop.
Yeah, that is good by them.
Can't remember which shop it is, so that's the thing. But and then I looked into it more and it's a thing. Okay. It's a thing. So if your laptop, you know, whatever, only has a year, well, guess what? You got 3 years because you're in Australia.
Wow.
Mm.
There you go. a few people might be music to a couple of people's ears.
Yeah, it might be picking up the phone.
Yeah. Let's finish on the D-Max. So very popular car in Australia at the moment. Plenty on the road, plenty done up. Again, pretty robust and never really seems to fail too many people. It's a facelift. It looks a little bit different, as they all sort of are. They're all looking quite similar.
All boxy.
It's a bit boxier. It's probably kept around. I'll give you a look. It's probably kept around a front end like than some of the others.
Oh, yeah.
But still, I think it's going down that boxy line.
It looks the same as the previous, though.
You reckon?
Is that a re-release?
Actually, I'll get up what I've got on Google. I reckon it's changed up a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
It looks very similar.
They haven't changed much.
They haven't changed a lot.
It's like a front end, wheels, tails. Okay. Interior's changed. But like interior changes nice. All the time with these cars.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a 24-inch iPad in there.
You got to keep up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit like the Jeep Wrangler. It's the same thing. You know, it's still a JL, but they've just updated the front.
Well, here's some things to the D-Max. So, allegedly no new power upgrades, 6 to 12 month wait time, price has gone up a couple thou.
When you say power upgrades, in like what it can produce?
Yeah, well, I think it's producing, like there's been no sort of...
Oh, they haven't specified what it is yet.
Well, there's no new power upgrades, same engine.
Yeah, okay.
You're getting the same thing out of the...
Yeah, chuck another turbo on it.
Yeah, you could just chuck another turbo on like Mitsubishi. But apparently the changes are coming in the 2025 model.
Okay.
With an electric D-Max on the cards.
Well, a full electric?
That's what it's saying.
No way.
So the full electric is a future plan, 26, 7, 8, something like that.
Oh, is that further on past 25?
Further on. Yep. So the 25 model is going to be a 2.2 litre turbo diesel.
Which they've got the... Is it the choice of the 1.9 or the 3 litre at the moment in a D-Max?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, which is apparently the same as the old D-Max is 1.9 or 3 litre. The new one is a 2.2 litre turbo diesel.
So interesting. All the manufacturers are going down to like a 2.2, 2.4, 2.5, that kind of thing. It actually makes the 2.8 seem pretty big now for a four-cylinder anyway.
After your towing test, it seems to be outperforming V8s.
Yeah, with the right gearing, yeah.
And the tune V8. What was your tune on your V8?
It's a tune. It's tuned for towing. It's not a stupid tune because it's got to be reliable. So it's boosting up to 2022. It's got like cooling upgrades. It's got like the whole intercooler upgrade. So it cools down really fast. It's really good at cooling. It's a good running car. It just couldn't do that with 35s, and you know, there's not that much more weight added to it. There's no big canopy on it.
Do you have a 6 tune chip?
Yeah, I've got a 5 tune map, and we didn't put this in the video, but I said to Harry, go to tune number 5 and see what you think. And he goes, what the fuck's wrong with this thing? I said, mate, that's the stock tune.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I can go back to stock tune anytime I want.
And it's that, it's like...
Oh, mate. It's
gutless.
Yeah, especially with 35s.
Yeah.
Complete gutless, man. And it runs hotter too.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but yeah, like the tune I use is number 1, and that's my towing tune, and it's a good tune. It gets off the mark quick. It would give that auto a run for its money, you know, put them up against each other on a drag strip.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Sorry, boys, I've derailed it completely. We've gone too long, we've gone quite a long time. I know we're talking about this episode being a bit shorter, but
let's finish up on the D-Max. There's like we've covered only a handful. The Navara we didn't mention, the Amarok we didn't go to. There's a new Kia Tasman, so Kia are bringing out a Ute.
You know what?
Which could be interesting.
We need to talk about cars like that.
Yeah.
Like completely separate.
Yeah.
And like separate from these. I mean, we can mention these other cars, but we should talk about what's that going to rival, because that Tank 500 is going to rival the Prado.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, so there's a couple out. Like, I don't know if we want to call the Kia and those sort of cars the exotics, but I think we need to look into...
Yeah.
They're not so mainstream kind of buyers as well, because...
But Kia's got a big stand in
Australia. Kia's huge at the moment, yeah.
Yeah.
And the Ute, it looks like a Ford Ranger. Looks good.
So it might bring a whole different demographic to full driving.
Look at that. So it's pretty nice.
And that's the Kia.
That's the Kia.
You know what it looks like? You know those Rivian cars?
Oh, yeah.
They're electric Rivians. That's what it looks like.
It does actually look, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on there, Kia?
My old man used to be a bit of a Kia fan. But he just sold his Kia. He sold his Jeep and he bought a Chery.
He bought a what?
A Chery.
No.
It's a Chinese brand car.
Oh, that. Yeah. I thought like Chery was maybe short for Cherokee. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, now. No.
Yeah. That did cross my mind as well at the start. Yeah.
I was like, they were nicknames in the Jeep family. But yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Right.
I didn't know what it was.
The Ute.
No. It's just a little sedan. It's not a four driver. It's just a sedan. And
they have a Ute, don't they?
No.
Oh, they don't.
No. So he rolled up in this thing and I thought it was a Kia because it looks like a Kia. And it actually, there's a lot of different cars coming out, you know, and they're starting to make it into the four-wheel drive world.
Oh, actually did a trip with someone who drove a Ssangyong Rexton.
Yep.
Like through Karajini, Pilbara, all that red dirt and stuff. Not really like hectic stuff, but it made it onto the beach at Ningaloo and through some...
Did all right?
Yeah, it did all right. Like, I popped a tyre, but no one else did.
That's down to your driving style.
Four-wheel drive podcast driven by Shelter. All right, we got the cars out of the way.
Well, hang on. Before the cars are out of the way, which one do you pick out of all the ones we spoke about?
Ranger.
Okay.
Yep.
He's gone straight for Ranger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Out of those ones we covered today, Ranger for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? I hope people found this helpful. Why?
Is it just because you're driving a Ranger? Do you like the new look of the Rangers? What about the Triton?
Probably part of it is because I drive a Ranger and I back it. I back forward in a little bit. I love the look of it. I think it looks the best out of the little list that we had today. But, yeah, I like the V6 option.
That is a bloody good option.
That's
what I'd be driving if I wasn't...
Yeah. I love the sort of the wider profile that it sort of carries now.
They do look nice. Is it the Raptor's the...
The Raptor's the
petrol
big V6, petty engine, right? Yeah. I don't know if I'd need to go that, but yeah, so what Ranger have done is they've, on the back tub, they've put in, so for some reason they've made it like exactly a crate, like, you know, the big crates, like a cargo crate that you would, you know, the forklift to go in and grab. So they've made it exactly the that pallet. Size, the pallet. Yeah. Mm. So it sort of fits, the size of the tub. And what they've also done is put a little section for you, so you can step up with your foot into the tub. And I just think things like that are just... Yeah. I don't know. They've thought about this.
They've really hit the mark on the tradie market.
Yeah.
Because a dual cab ute, tradies.
Yeah.
Every day of the week.
That's why I'm probably going that. But they all, like the D-Max especially, I like. The Hilux I'm always going to like, but everyone seems to like them.
Mm.
And then the Triton is something I've never thought about before, but seeing what they've done, I'm probably not going to go out and buy one if I was updating, but it's got to be looked at, I reckon.
It's an option on the table.
Yeah.
And like the price point.
Yeah.
Comparing to all the other vehicles.
Yeah.
You know.
And like, we haven't spoken about the Navaras and Amaroks and all that sort of stuff too. All good cars. So we've left some out on the table too. What are you going from our list today?
Look, I'd definitely, like, if I wasn't such a Land Cruiser fanboy, I would probably go a V6 Ranger.
Yep.
And then put a jet ski on the back of it. No. I don't know. Maybe a Triton and then put this 10-year warranty to its full.
See how you go with it.
Like treat it like a Hilux from the old Abbots.
Yeah, true. I mean, what would you go, Jaden? You did all the research on them. What sort of...
I don't know. I don't know if I want a Ute again. Like, I had a Hilux. I don't know.
So what you're telling me is you're going the 150 250 Prado off our list today.
I was looking at that, but I don't like the look of it.
Oh, really? You've got to choose one, mate, from the list.
I think it looks awesome.
You really?
I do like it. I love the look of it.
Oh, so...
I just think, like, yeah, 70 series look, style, why not get a 76 2.8 litre?
Wow. Did he just say that?
Yeah.
He just said that.
I feel like we've covered that.
Wow.
I'm going to delete that.
He was out there the other day, and I asked him off, you know, air, which, like, is if someone had the V8 and a 2.8 right in front of you, which one would you take? He'd go, I have to go to V8. Now he's a changed man.
Mm.
He's a changed man.
Now, all of a sudden, the 2.8 litre 70 doesn't want you, mate.
What if...
I do like the Ford Ranger.
Yeah, good. Yeah. To be honest. Good call.
What if...
To like, yeah.
The Prado, the new Prado. What if the new Prado, that shape, looks a little bit more fancy and it had a twin turbo 3.5 litre petrol V6? What would you say?
The new Prado.
Nah. I like it. Good. Good change, but
okay. Well, Lexus GX.
Ah, yeah. Well, what are we paying for a Lexus though?
Yeah, well, are you factoring money?
We're factoring money. It's none of them.
Yeah.
Well, before this fire goes out,
let's get to it. I've shut the laptop and handing them back to Jaden this week for around the tie pit.
Yeah, I did have a stern word with you after that, taking them away.
Yeah. Anyway, I said I wasn't going to answer these questions because I had no idea and spoke the whole time, so. Answer my own questions that I had no idea about.
First question from 89 Dunn. Where do you stand on Holden Colorados? Duggo, go first.
Yeah, I've actually had I've had like a little Holden deal before through my day job, and drove some Colorados over that time. And they were a good ute. They did exactly what I needed them to. I wasn't taking them off-road or anything because they were a dealer's car. So I didn't test them in that way, but...
On record, you didn't.
Yeah. No, Grant knows I didn't.
Grant, no, he did. He showed me videos.
They were much more... If I compare them to a Ranger, they were much more truck-like. Less power, heavier steering. And then I test drove a Ranger when I was... sort of wanting my own car to do, you know, kit it out and go four-wheel driving and all that sort of stuff. I knew what the Colorado was like, so that was sort of what I was comparing it to. Got in the Ranger and it drove like a little sedan, 1 mil off the ground. handled so much better, more power. This was in 2017.
So which is the dark and the light side? Because you've literally gone Holden Ford here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we were Holden's going. I grew up in Holden's too. Not because, you know, Dad's not a...
Yeah.
He's not at Bathurst every year with his Holden cap on, but we were always Holden's and loved them. And I did. Like, the Colorado's a great vehicle. And now, so they've discontinued Colorados. Is that what you're telling me?
Since 2018.
Yeah. 2018? Yes. Oh, wow.
If I'm correct on that, I'm pretty sure it's 2018.
No, they were good. They were a great car. Everything you need in a dual cab ute for me. I was driving the dual cab utes and just comparing it to the Ranger.
2020, sorry.
2020, was it? Yeah, comparing it to the Ranger, I couldn't. But...
they're the same as the Isuzu though, back then.
They were back then.
Well, hang on, the one I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I sort of heard all that, but I just test drove the Ranger. I was just like, nah, this is it. And the Ranger had the bigger engine than the Hilux at the time, the new Hilux at the time as well. So, yeah, that's why I went that. But the Colorado was a good. I enjoyed it, and I'm still seeing some good examples on the road. Some really nice Dunlop Colorados, and the Rodeos are still going around too. So, they've you know stood the test of time a bit themselves.
Yeah, it's the Rodeos that I'm more familiar with.
Yeah,
The Colorados. I've never driven one. I think I've only ever featured one on the modified program. So I don't know a lot about them, but essentially like a D-Max almost. But
yeah,
I've never actually driven a D-Max either.
Quite reliable from what I've heard. And like I said, I didn't test them out, but
especially if the Isuzu is behind the engine.
Yeah, it was nice enough to drive. So
yeah,
don't have much more on them though.
What do you guys think about the big American pickup trucks? We were at
love them.
Optus Stadium the other day, parking underground for when we were working on Bat Chat with the Perth Scorchers, and parked under there. And you know how you would know how tight the parking is under there. It's this big Chevy Silverado, half sticking out. Like you have to drive out and around it.
Yeah.
Doesn't even fit in the bay. What's the point? Like unless you're towing, I get that they're good towing cars.
Mm.
If his purpose to having one, like you know. Say if you're carting big stuff around, like towing, gooseneck stuff, there's point in having them. But I do think a lot of them are just, you know, too big.
Yeah. I love them because I love the look of them. And you get a big V8 and it's kind of... Yeah. I feel like not practical.
The big 350.
Yeah, they're like, they're just, I reckon they're cool.
Yeah.
If I was living in the country, I reckon you'd be half a chance.
Have a bit of fun for a few years. Twin wheels and the, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, pickup truck, yeah. Tow truck.
Where we live in Perth, in the city,
yeah,
is that a reasonable car to be driving around?
No. You need a Mr. Bean car.
What about the size?
None of our cars are reasonable driving around, are they?
76 is.
What about the size of a Tundra or a 150, F-150? Bigger, but not...
Yeah, they're not too big, I think.
Yeah.
I think, There's place for them, but still not really in like... some tight car bays are going to be a pain, you know?
Yeah. Well, already though, we make that decision around here. Like, there's plenty of overheads. Well, I think we spoke about it last week. We're not getting under.
No.
So I have to park outside or I take, you know, luckily, fortunately, we have another car that we can fit under in. But
yeah, you get a Trooper or a Ranger.
I know.
Combine the both, you never fit anywhere, mate.
Neuron scooters around town now.
Yeah, that's true. We did cop a few of those.
We've got them around here. Yeah. Jade and I raced back here after the Chrissy party.
Who won? Hard to say.
Yeah, well, I left earlier, so I won.
Yeah.
you need four wheels and ones.
We did go to different places.
Yeah.
And didn't race.
I don't know. I like them, but they're not that practical.
Nah. And if you have purpose for them. I could see a big car like that be practical for overlanding, touring, if you didn't go on the crazy tracks where you need clearance because they're so bloody long. The overhang and the back overhang is not practical for off-road tracks that are made by Land Cruisers and Land Rovers and all the other utes we spoke about. But if you're going to the same places where most caravans will be towed to, why not put a big home on wheels in the back of it?
Mm.
It will be easier to get around than a caravan.
Yeah, it's true.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
Another question, well, not a question, but a statement from Moosa Brett. He says... And this is in regards to, we were talking a few weeks ago about V8 Toyotas and whether they have a future. Toyota sales to mining is only around 2% worldwide, so they're told at Toyota technical training. Only makes up 2% of the vehicles.
Wow. Yeah.
Which is a tiny number for the Toyotas that you see.
That's not much.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder what sort of like terms and agreements or contract they're running off.
Mm.
Like even though it's a small amount, I wonder if it's a long, like it's, you know.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing is that it's worldwide and not Australia.
Yeah, okay.
So in Australia, market. Australia must take up, I would assume, almost 2% of the worldwide.
2%, but of the 70 series, I'm pretty sure the 70 series, the take up in Australia is 20%. Worldwide for the 70 series. So I questioned the 2% thing.
Yeah. Well, just, yeah, apparently this is what they're told at Toyota technical training and he's put it in brackets. So
yeah, yeah.
It's not.
Matt, I don't know if it's interpreted the same way. If it is a 70 series, that's only 2% of worldwide, then I stand wrong. But I'm just so sure it's 20%. Because if it's only 2%, then the mining just wouldn't have any influence on why Toyota make a decision to keep the V8.
Oh, it wouldn't be good for the V8 if it was only 2%.
Yeah.
That feels like it's
But maybe already there. I mean, maybe that's what it is now.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Because they're buying Rangers and other things now too.
Are they?
Some mines are, yeah. Yeah, all kinds of different cars.
Yeah, right.
We'll have to do a bit of research into that.
Yeah, so we just need to figure out what that 2% actually means.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be an interesting one. I just thought that was something interesting. 2% was such a small number.
It is. I'd really like for him to just elaborate on that. Just give us a bit more detail on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On that as well, he also says that they never use low four first gear underground, always take off in second. Some sites have fourth and fifth gear locked out and full-time low engaged. And apparently all the mechanics hate V8s. All the underground mechanics hate V8 cars.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
So just a little bit of information there, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonder what the mechanics would...
On some feelings.
Because I'll have to quit. Are they in Hilux down there or... A lot of Hilux mining cars, isn't there, too?
Yeah, but I think, yeah, just from what I was told,
the issue is
from engineer that they keep the V8 just for underground.
All right.
Because it's manual. They can't use brakes underground. Maybe this is just a specific part of the mining underground. I'm not sure. But
yeah, I mean, what I think from just looking at all these comments on YouTube is just that everyone's working on a different mine site with different rules and regulations, and not everything applies to everything, and everyone's getting up in arms about different things. But it's interesting to know about all the different things that are going on in different mine sites. Like, everyone's got a different experience with Toyotas, different cars, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'd be very interested to learn more about that.
I'd also like to know what other cars they're using on the mine sites. That'd be cool to know.
So, that'd be very cool. Send in your cars.
Yeah. Yeah, send us in what they all are. And, sort of hate working on V8s, especially if they're trying to get the starter motor and things like that out. Or the alternator's always going to go on them. And some sites, they use different alternators and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah.
Well, that's all the questions I've got, boys. There's some more, but we'll save them for next episode, I think. This is already...
Yeah, let's get more information from these guys that are coming with the mine site information.
Yeah.
We can keep you anonymous.
Well, I think, if you work on a mine site and you want to send in some...
Yeah.
Send in some cool shit, like some...
Yeah.
Some stuff.
You can always just put anonymous, so we don't, that way you won't get in trouble, lose your job.
Yeah. Where do they send it, Duggo?
Yep, they send us to the 4WD podcast on Instagram. I had a question for you.
Go on.
We'll quickly see this out, and I don't know if this is allowed to be asked or not.
Yeah.
Is that up and coming?
Yes, up and coming, but not set up yet.
Okay, no worries. That'll come.
But for audio listeners, you won't understand.
Yeah.
We'll be able
to talk to us.
Yeah,
soon.
I've been talking about it for a while. We're doing new things here. So this might be the last episode we do in the garage.
Oh.
Ooh.
Just feels like this is where a 4WD podcast should be done, but anyway.
Yeah.
That's all good. Bigger and better things.
We're kind of...
Oh, very... How'd you get that off so quick?
Did you prepare this?
Works at Triple M of the morning. Always tough to sing along with James Blunt. High pitch. All right, let's go. Because we've been on for ages. And if you're still with us, thanks for hanging in there. So as you heard, the 4WD podcast on Instagram, please get into us. You can get into us as well if you want, if we're shit.
And I'm out of shelter.
Out of shelter. Episode's over on Backchat to YouTube. The Southern River Band seeing us out. 4WD podcast, driven by Shelter. Thanks, Ronnie. Thanks, Jaden. Thanks, listeners.
Thank you. Thank you.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.